Great. Okay, you should have a handout coming, and it's on. I just had it listed as believer sacrifices. This is how I titled it. We've also titled it "What Sacrifices Believers Should Be Making Now." So it should be a lot of fun. Go ahead and turn. I guess if we could go ahead and start. Yeah, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look briefly at what I call sacrifices that believers offer to God. When we think about sacrifices, we normally think of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, or sometimes we think about Jesus, the final sacrifice for sin forever, and it's really exciting. But what do we offer? What do we offer? Do we offer anything now? So this morning, we're going to just briefly look at some sacrifices that we offer. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Let's do this. Let's start with prayer. Let's pray. And Father, what a great morning. Lord, thank you for the conference. I love it. I love getting to be here. I love all the people. It's just so fun to get to be together and talk about the Bible and see great truths and understand great truths. And then the fellowship and the fun is just amazing. So thank you for all of that, Lord. Thank you that you have given to us the greatest message of all time, that whoever believes in Jesus will never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for the promise of everlasting life. And when we believe in Jesus for everlasting life, that exact moment he gives us everlasting life. So may we never take it for granted. Lord, thank you that as believers, we have great responsibility and privileges. And so, Lord, we just think this morning about sacrifices. What does that mean? How does it fit? And so, Lord, I just pray you'll just help us as we study it this morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a song a lot of people, I can't sing, but there's a song that people sing. It's something like, "We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." Y'all have heard that, right? I mean, that's a song. I will not do it again, please. Okay, anyway, we talk about the sacrifice of praise. When you think about sacrifices, what do you think about? Especially in the Bible or even life, sometimes we think about, first of all, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how he left the glories of heaven to become a human being. In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem us, that he might die. And so when we think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how he died, rose again, he bore in his body our sins on the cross. He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. So we say, oh yeah, when I think about a sacrifice, I think about Jesus. Sometimes we think about the Old Testament, and then you go back and you start in Leviticus, and I told y'all I believed in Christ when I was 19, and I had never even had a Bible, never looked at a Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible, and I figured you start at the front. You know, I started in Genesis, and it was amazing, in Exodus. Pretty amazing. And then I got to Leviticus and I said, I think I'm going to switch to the new part, you know, from the old part to the new part. But in that Levitical part, there's all these sacrifices, and they're sacrifices to cover sin, or, you know, to do all kind of different things, and a peace sacrifice and a feast day sacrifice and those kind of things. So if you look in the Bible, you see those sacrifices. Sometimes we think about just sacrifices, giving up something. And you think about a parent making a sacrifice for children. We got a call. My daughter has a 5-year-old, and last night his temperature went to 104, and so they texted us and said, we're going to the hospital, you know. And then they got home this morning at 4, and he's doing good. They got home at 4:45. So think about that. They didn't get any sleep last night, right? But that's a sacrifice that sometimes we will make for our children, or to give up something, or say, okay, well, that's okay. You get, you know, I always said that my mother never wanted the last piece of pie. I don't know why. You know, it was only one piece. She'd say, oh, I don't want it. You take it. You know, sometimes that's what we do. There's a sacrifice. And then sometimes I just say, living for God in a fallen world, it's a sacrifice. It's a, you know, because you make a decision that we're going to live in a certain way, that we're going to do things for the glory of God, and the whole world is totally contrary to that. So this morning, as we think about sacrifices, I want to look at two different things. And real quickly, we want to look at who we are and what we are to do. And so when I think about who we are, we say who we are, which, you know, we're children of God. Sometimes we're called priests. We're going to talk about that. There are many ways we're described. And then what we are to do. And I think that sacrifices as a believer, and we'll talk about what they are in a second, in just a little bit, sacrifices help us to do what we're supposed to do. So let's start with this question. Who we are? Who are we? That we say, well, there are many ways when you can think about, we see ourselves in the scripture. Think about this. We're children of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3:26, we're all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I know sometimes People say, is there a difference between being a child of God and being a son of God? And I know that in certain places that we've looked, our church, we decided, let's look at this thing and see what it is. And as we look at it, we say sometimes being a son of God is being maybe more of a faithful person than just being a child of God. But then in other places, it's the same. And so I think what we all can say is sometimes it means something different. Sometimes it doesn't. You just have to look at the context. Remember, context. Context, context. Anyway, so then ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. As though God were beseeching through us. We're witnesses of Jesus Christ. So we'd say we're ambassadors. We represent Christ. Then we're slaves. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. And sometimes we don't look at ourselves in that way, but we realize that we actually belong to God. We belong to Jesus Christ. He purchased us. And then we're soldiers fighting the fight. 2 Timothy, a good soldier doesn't get tied up with the things of this world, but wants to please the commander. And so that, and then we're athletes running the race. I've always loved that because I love sports and love, I got to coach track for a long time. And so we're running the race, looking, you know, unto Christ and running, and so that we'll not be disqualified, that kind of thing. And then we're laborers in the harvest, Luke chapter 10. And so we start looking at that. We say, wow, what, so who are we? But here's something else. We're priests. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. And he says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said that we get to be priests. That in fact, and when you think about the scripture, that every believer is a priest, we call priest of God, and we get to, we'll talk more about the priesthood in a minute, but think about priesthood. In the Old Testament, as you go all the way back, you find that the father or the head of the home or whatever it was, he was the priest of the family. You remember in the book of Job, Job offered sacrifices for his family. And then when you think about Abraham, Abraham was sort of the head of his family. He was the head of his family. He offered sacrifices as well. And then what happened, as you know, God then took the nation of Israel. They went down, 75 people went down into Egypt as a big family. They came out as a nation. The nation needed a law. The nation needed all kind of things. And God set apart one whole tribe, the Levites, the Levitical tribes, those from Levi, and they became the priests of the nation of Israel. But what's amazing for us now is we're called priests. And let's talk for a minute about Levitical priest or the priest in the Old Testament. Literally, it means the holy ones or the set apart ones, the idea of what a priest is. They had special clothes. Well, if you think about it, if you've ever studied and went back and looked at that, and later on after I first got over the great fear of looking through Leviticus and Numbers and all of that and Deuteronomy, you realize there's some incredible things in there. And so they had these clothes, and you think of the high priest, and they had the bells and the pomegranates around the bottom and the things, and a sash and the head name to the Lord here and everything like that. So they had special clothes, but they washed and anointed. And I always love reading the passage where Aaron and his sons are set apart, and Aaron is set apart as the priest, and they have all these clothes and they wash him off, and then they put the blood, and they put the blood on his ear right there so he could hear the word of God. They put it on his toe so he would walk in the word of God, and then he put it on his hand, or actually his thumb, and so that he would do the word of God. And so they set these priests apart. So think about ourselves. What about us? And then finally, they had special sacrifices. They had sacrifices every day. They had sacrifices every year. They had sacrifices in and out. There were good sacrifices in a sense that were friendly and family. And then there were sinful. I mean, that dealt with sin and those kind of things. And so I want you to think about something and turn just real briefly, and we're going to go to different places, but turn to Revelation chapter 1. Just kind of flip over. Hold your place in 1 Peter and flip over to Revelation chapter 1. Look what he says about us. And it's verses 5 and 6. And I love this passage. I hope you're there. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, this is, of course, that John is writing to the seven churches in Asia, and he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. So there he is. And then it says, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God. Some of the translations read a kingdom of priests, or so it could be either that we're a kingdom of priests or we're in the kingdom and we are priests, priest to God and Father, and to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so when you go to Revelation, it tells us we're the priest. And think about this. We're kings and priests. We have special clothes. We're clothed in the righteousness. Now, I think there's two aspects of clothes. First of all, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're declared righteous, and we get the clothed in righteousness and justice. And then, as you serve, as you live for God, there's righteousness. And if you look in the book of Revelation, it talks about here come these believers, and they're clothed in this thing, and it says these clothes are the righteous acts of the believers. So we do good things, and so we're clothed. And so just like the Old Testament priest was clothed, we're clothed in God's righteousness. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now they were washed with these animal blood, and then on their finger and the toe and the ear and everything. But we got the blood of the Lamb. We were washed by the blood of the Lamb. And then we have special sacrifices, and they're called spiritual sacrifices. We'll look at it more in just a minute, but not animal sacrifices, but special sacrifices. I've always wondered what it would be like that if we offered animal sacrifices today. Who wants to do that? Do you want to bring an animal up and cut its throat and the blood go everywhere and get a little pan and catch the blood? And I mean, do you want to do that? We say, no, we don't want to do that. My gracious. And so you think about, here we are. So who are we? We are priests. We're set apart for God. And so then that's who we are. Then what do we do? What are we to do? And as we look at it, and I thought about this, it's actually we make not God known through the sacrifices. So in the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices, think about this, all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, even the ones that didn't deal with sin, were really pointing to the Messiah, pointing to the one who would pay for the sins of the world, the ones who would deal with sin. All the animal sacrifices, they had to be spotless animals, perfect. The shed blood, that was the picture. The blood of animals covered sin, and was the picture of the Messiah. When I didn't really think about this until I started growing as a Christian, and I started thinking to myself, wow, it seems like New Testament, and my first thought was, it seems like New Testament is written to us, and maybe the Old Testament was maybe that's kind of passed away. But then I started studying the Bible, and especially when I got to the book of Hebrews, I realized, wait a minute, the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus Christ. It's a foreshadow. Everything is coming, and as we know, there are different types and things. And so when you look at the Old Testament, whether it's the priest's clothes, or the set apart, or the sacrifices, or the tabernacle, or the different feast days, all of that, it's pointing to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about that, the sacrifices make known the Messiah. And so I want you to see this. We get to make God known. And I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, and this is the verse I read a while ago, but look what he says. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that, why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, we get, as priests, we get to make known, as a royal priest, we get to make known our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to say, well, how? Because I'm going to show you some sacrifices in just a second, that if we do these sacrifices, we will make known to those around us about Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what it's all about. We're to make Him known. And so how do we do that? It's through the sacrifices. And so look at this right here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Look back what he says. And of course, let me go back to verse 4. And it says, and coming to Him as a living stone, which had been rejected by men, but choice of the precious sight of God. So Jesus is the living stone that was rejected, but is precious. And you also, us, as living stones, we're part of the builder there, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We get to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. We get to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You know, when you think about it, Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. When you go back to the Old Testament sacrifices, there are a lot of different things. But every sacrifice that was ever offered was a covering. Let me tell you, you know, people start talking about the atonement. What does that mean? I see it pretty simply. Now, I could be wrong, but I see it simply. I see in the Old Testament, the word atonement means covering. In the New Testament, I don't really see atonement. I see a satisfactory payment. I see a payment for sin. I see that in theological writings, that in theology writings, people use atonement, and they use atonement to be equal with payment. I'd say if you're leading something theological and it says the atonement of Jesus Christ, they're probably talking about payment. But if you're actually reading the Bible and it talks about atonement, I think it's covering it. I think the whole idea of payment is the idea of the satisfactory payment and the payment for sin. So I see it in a little bit different way than some. So that's why when I hear the word atonement, I always think of covering. And when I think of satisfactory payment, I think of the New Testament. So we offer up spiritual sacrifices. And this really doesn't have anything to do with sin, because Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin forever. So what are sacrifices that we can make? And so let's talk about it. There are four. And the first one, and this is the best one. This is the big one. This was, we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Flip over to Romans chapter 12. Famous, famous, famous passage. While you're turning there, let me just read it. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Look at there. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. There it is. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So as you get over there, I want you to realize that we offer the sacrifice of ourselves. And he doesn't actually say give your lives. He said give your bodies. Now it all ties together, but he wants us to be sure and be clear that we're talking about our bodies. We're talking about living for Jesus Christ. So let's look at it a little bit more carefully. Therefore, he's looking back to all the things he's talked about. I think about the first eight chapters, a lot of theology, 9, 10, 11 deal with Israel. Here he goes now. Okay, therefore, since we've talked about all these things, I beg you, I urge you, brethren, believers, talking to believers, by the mercies of God, what has he done for us? All the things he's done for us. We mentioned it the other day. Why do you serve Jesus Christ? Out of fear? Or out of love? Out of fear, because you're trying to hang on, which none of us in this room are thinking that way. We serve out of love because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so he says, listen, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present, by what he's done, to present, to offer your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. There's a big contrast, because the sacrifice in the Old Testament were all dead. They killed them. They killed them all, put them up on something, and they were dead sacrifices. But in the New Testament, for us as believers, we're living sacrifices. I had a friend that one time used to say, he says, the trouble with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. You know, and that's true. And for us, we'll say, oh, Lord, I want to live for you, and then we don't. You know, but we're really saying to him, Lord, I want my life to count for you. I give you my life. Notice I love this. He says, it's acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is what you should do. This is the key thing. Most of you know my background, but I was coaching at Mississippi State, and I had been a believer. I believed in Christ when I was 19. I was about 24, 25. I was not growing as a Christian. In fact, I knew, if you said, do you think you're going to heaven? I said, I have no doubt I'm going to heaven. I believed in Jesus. He's given me eternal life. I'm saved. Are you living for Jesus Christ? I'd say, no doubt I'm not living for Jesus Christ. I'm not. I wasn't. I got tied up in a lot of different things. And then God basically disciplined me, and I basically said, wait a minute, something's got to happen. I came home from, I was helping coach football at that time, or helping being on the football staff, and I came home after practice and spring training, and I said, my life's miserable. Here I am. I know I'm saved. I know I have eternal life, and yet I'm not happy at all. And I know I'm not doing what you want me to do. So I actually said, Romans 12, I said, Lord, I give you my life. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Even if it means not getting to be a coach, whatever it means, I love coach. That's all I wanted to do from age 12 on. But I want my life to count for you. And it is amazing. It changed then. That has never changed before. It was just such a change in my life. And so I said to Lord, I give you my life as a living sacrifice. And that's what he says, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And it's easy to sometimes say it, but you know, I know that, let me just say it in a nice way. When I believed in Christ for eternal life, I was already a good person. I already lived good. So when I believed in Christ for eternal life, my lifestyle didn't change very much. And so if you were looking for lifestyle, let me be honest, if you're looking for lifestyle, which we know some people say, look at your lifestyle to see if you're saved. If you were looking at lifestyle, you would think before I trusted Christ at 19 that I was a Christian. And then if you looked at lifestyle after, you might say I wasn't a Christian. because I lived better before than after for a while. But I came to the point where I said, I want my life to count for you. I have to say that's the scariest thing you could ever do. Because you're saying to God, I give up my life. It's in your hands. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. Listen, there are many believers who say, I believed in Christ. It cost me absolutely nothing. At our church, we say salvation, eternal life salvation costs us absolutely nothing. Discipleship, living for Christ, cost us our lives. It cost us everything. And so I would challenge you, if you may be like me, you may say, I know I have eternal life, but my life doesn't count for Christ, that you want your life to count for Christ. So this is, notice, here's the thing, I love it, because he then tells us exactly how to do it. He says, I offer your life as a living sacrifice. And then he says, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he goes on, so you'll know what the will of God is. But notice he gives the contrast. Basically, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be shaped by this world, but be transformed. That's the Greek word there, is the idea from the inside out, metamorphosis. From the inside out, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is the word of God. Let me tell you a thing we say at our church all the time. We say, if you are not consciously being transformed by the word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to this world. Let me say it again. If you're not consciously being transformed by the word of God, you will be unconsciously conformed to this world. I mean, if you say, I want to be like this world, you don't have to do anything. It just happens. You're just being shaped. The values, the things. You have to decide. You have to say, I'm going to know the Bible. I want to know the Bible. I want to renew my mind by put the word of God. I want to memorize the word. I want to know the Bible. I want to live it out. I want to do that. Because if I don't do that, it won't happen. Because I know so many Christians, they don't even realize they think like the world. I mean, they look at some of the shows on TV and they think they're so funny, and I want to say to them, that's trash. And you think that's funny? What's happened to you? What are you thinking? And the bottom line, it's just so easy to let the world shape us. And so if we're not consciously being transformed, saying, I'm going to put the word of God in, I'm going to memorize the word, I'm going to study the word, I'm going to know the word, I'm going to live it out, I'm going to pass the word on to others. If we're not doing that, we'll be slowly, and without our conscience, we will not realize it, but we'll be shaped like the world. So the first one, I think, that we, and this is the big one for me, is you need to offer your life as a sacrifice. And it's a living sacrifice. And stop being conformed to this world. Stop letting the world shape you, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God. Well, there's a second one. That passage. Now, stop being conformed. Okay, the second one is called the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. I put those together. So go ahead and look at Hebrews 13:15. Just flip over there. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll get to it, 13. And listen to what he says. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. That's why I call it the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. He says continually. Notice this. Continually. You know, the music this morning, that's so incredible. The songs are so incredible. Their voices are beautiful. When you hear it, your heart. The one that says, you know, all my life he's been faithful. Have you thought of that? Has he been faithful to you all your life, even in the bad things? Even in the bad things, you go, he was always there, even in the bad things. Notice he says, continually offer up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. One thing you might do, just to think about this, get off by yourself sometime, get a piece of paper, and say, I'm going to write down all the things I'm thankful for that God has given to me. Now, you might better have a notebook, because, I mean, you start going and you say that I'm alive and that he created me and he's gave me eternal life and he's given me the power of the Holy Spirit and he's given me the word of God and he's given me fellow believers and then he's given me a family and he's given me this and he's given me this and he's given me the ability to do this. And you start going down the list and it gets more and more of how we're thankful for what God has given to us. And it's the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And so it's how often do we praise Him? Sometimes we praise Him in a lot of different ways, but how often? And then another one, how often are we thankful? We sometimes will say, oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, I need this. And then it happens that we never say, oh, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Thank you. I mean, we just forget. So here's the second one, and the second one is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And so think about that. As you go through life, you actually offer a spiritual sacrifice to God when you say, thank you, Lord. Or hallelujah, Lord. Or thank you for this. Or you're amazing, Lord. So we've seen the sacrifice of self, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. This next two, I put the next two together. Doing good and sharing. Okay? Doing good and sharing. So let's think there's a sacrifice basically of doing good. Hebrews, you're right there, Hebrews 13. The next verse, verse 16 says, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. Why? For which such sacrifices God is pleased. So let's think about doing good for just a second. Now, Ephesians 2:10 said we are created. This is the body of Christ, of course. As corporately, we're created for good works. Titus talks about maintain good works. Galatians 6:10 says do good to all men, especially the household of faith. I thought about something this morning while I was just up in my room for a minute, and I thought about doing good. And you know, we always say this little book of Titus, five times in this little letter, he says do good. In chapter 2, verse 7, be example of good deeds. Chapter 2, verse 14, do good deeds. Chapter 3, verse 1, do good deeds. Chapter 3, verse 8, maintain good works. Chapter 3, verse 14. If you wanted to teach somebody that we should be doing good deeds, just go to letter Titus and just say, let's pick out five places. Think about that. If somebody ever asked you to speak, say, oh, I got five things. I got 5 points right there. I could just get up and go through the book of Titus and show all of that. That's always really good. And then he's got sharing, which is, of course, the Greek word koinonia, which has the idea of partnership and sharing. And so he says, with doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I always think of Acts, where all the people at the very beginning, what did they do? They said, well, I have a lot, and some of these people don't have anything, so let's bring it here and put it, and anybody has a need, they can have that. I'm going to turn to Philippians for a second. I'm teaching Philippians on Sunday morning, and so it's really fresh on my mind. But Philippians talks about this whole idea of sharing and giving and a sacrifice in that way. Do you realize that when you give, that's a sacrifice? Listen to this. I love this. This is Philippians chapter 4. What did it go off? It's up here. Well, does anybody know how to fix this? But anyway, while he's coming, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Look what he says about the Philippians. I don't know why it went off up here. Anyway, yeah. Did you think I did? Did I do something here? I didn't do it. No. Okay. We're back. Okay, so look at this, Philippians 4:15. You yourselves know. Now, Paul, you remember, I always tell people, when Paul wrote the letter to Philippians, he's in prison, and it's a twofold purpose, to thank them for the gifts that they had sent, that was a sacrifice, and to encourage them to live godly in a fallen world in the persecution. But listen to what he says. For you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, when he was first telling them and then going after that, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. He said, no church really helped except you. Now, when it says giving and receiving, some people say, what does that mean? I thought they gave. Well, when you give, you actually receive. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that whole idea of blessing and give. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. If you sow, you don't sow much, you don't get much back. He's actually saying to the Philippians, when you gave, you're going to receive back. And so he goes on to say, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift for myself, the gift for self, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. This sounds weird, but when you do things and you give, God credits your account. It's a sacrifice. And God says, you've sacrificed. And he goes on to say, but I've received everything in full, and I have abundance, and I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, and look what he calls it, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Wow. Wow. So what are the sacrifices? Do we realize that when we give an offering to God, it's an act of worship and a sacrifice? So right now, I'm going to go ahead and I've got a plate that I'd like to pass around, and that you could all have a great sacrifice and rejoice. So what are we doing? Think about it. He says, we offer our lives with praise and thanksgiving, our good works, and our sharing. So let me just end with this because I've got like 6 or 7 seconds. But anyway, let me give you some applications. First of all, let's be faithful as priests of God. Think about it. We're set apart that we're a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. We belong to Him. Our goal is to make Him known even through the sacrifices. And when you live for Him, when you give, when you praise, all of that's ways that you make known to God, or make known God to other people. It's amazing. So let's think about sacrifices for a second. Let's offer sacrifices. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2, to offer your life. Listen, that to me was the scariest thing I ever decided. But I also said, I don't want to live as a believer and just go through life and be miserable sometimes because of sin, because of not living for Christ. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you this. I knew that as a believer that I should say to God, I want my life to count for you. But I was afraid that if I said that, He wouldn't let me be a coach. He'd make me be a pastor or something like that. And by the grace of God, I was a coach for 5 or 6 more years before He changed my desires and I got to be a pastor. And now if you said to me, would you like to coach? I'd say, no way. I want to be a pastor. This is what I love to do. So if you've not ever offered your life, it's a scary thing. But say to Him, Lord, I want my life to count for You. I will do whatever You want. It's really, really powerful, powerful, powerful. And then this one is the praise and thanksgiving. Wow. Praise Him for what He's done for us. Thank Him for what He's all done. Praise Him for who He, I always say, praise Him for who He is and what He's done. And then thank Him for how He's worked in our lives. Sometimes I just sit down and I'll think back about my life and how He, even before I knew Him, how He took care of me. And then especially after, and then I can just see His hand working in all things. So it is so amazing. The third thing is actions, the good works and sharing. So be ready to look out to do good things for people. Look out for what, that's why I love the Philippian letter. The Philippian letter, we're in chapter 2. We just started chapter 2. The end of chapter 1 and chapter 2 talks about unity. And the way He says you have unity is humility. And humility means you put others above you. And that means you serve others rather than yourself. And this is a sacrifice. And so, and it is, it costs you. And so you're going to say, I want to do good works and I want to share. It's really, really powerful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. What different things there that we see that You allow us to offer spiritual sacrifices to You. Lord, we just ask You that our lives would count for You. Thank You, Lord, that we can offer our lives as living sacrifices. You'll take us and use us for Your glory. We pray, Lord, that we get to lift up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We get to do good works. We get to share all of these things as acts of worship to You as we offer spiritual sacrifices. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think we have about 8 minutes or something for some questions. If there are any, there may not be any because it's just such an incredible passage. Not me, but the Word of God is so perfect and it's not hard to understand. Anybody got any questions? It doesn't hurt my feelings at all if you don't have questions, but you got one? Okay. You know what? Not off the top of my head. I don't know if I'm supposed to repeat the question. Do I know other passages by the Peter passages and the Revelation passage? That's the two that come to my mind immediately. But I picked those out and I just didn't think a whole lot about it. But does anybody else know of another passage that talks about our priesthood as believers? I can't think of others, but I could, there may be some. I could look it up.
I think there's some in Hebrews.
Yeah. Well, probably in Hebrews, but it's the whole thing of Hebrews is showing the contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yeah, good stuff. All right, what else? Yeah, yeah.
Pastor Rod, on the Ephesians 2:10, that God has prepared our good works beforehand.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Because that blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think in Ephesians 2:10, it's a corporate aspect because it says, by grace you have been saved through faith in the, you know, you individually. And then he says, we, plural, are created in Christ Jesus. I think he's talking about the body of Christ, that he's planned beforehand that the body of Christ would do good works and be the representative. That's how I look at that passage. Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, when I hear the word atonement, I think of covering, and I think of Old Testament. I don't really think of atonement New Testament, but when you read theological books, they talk about atonement, and they'll say the atonement of Christ, and they're meaning him coming and dying and paying for sin and all of that. And so I think, a theological term that somehow has been used. I just look at it, and I tell our people, I say, when we look at the Bible and you see atonement, you're thinking of covering. When you see atonement, maybe reading a theological book or something, they may be meaning the payment of sin, of Jesus paying for sin. So I think it sometimes can get mixed up a little bit. I wish that the word atonement was only used for covering, and, you know, then satisfactory payment was used for the payment. But that's how I look at it. And when you ask, are we using atonement, you mean the word too much? I think theologically they use it all the time, meaning the whole thing of Jesus dying and rising again and paying for sin. Which I look at that and say, I know what they're saying, but I think atonement means covering. Yeah, kapor. Yeah. What else? Yes. Okay, I'm gonna have to get hearing aids so I can't hear you.
Romans 15:16, Paul said, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel.
Yeah, that Romans what?
That would be 15.
Romans 16:15. So he talks about ministering as priest. That's great. Thank you for finding that. What else? Yes, talk loud. Okay, say the last part. I didn't hear the last part.
What would you say to, I know everybody's probably a little different, but say we're talking to somebody who's maybe kind of at that same point, and what to say to them, where to point them to encourage them to help get them over that?
Right, that's a great question. You know, I'm not sure if there's any particular one thing. I know every person's different, but I think people get to a point where they're realizing there has to be more than just that you're saved and you know you're saved. And you're going through life, and sometimes as you're saved and going through life, it's just up and down and up and down and up and down. And sometimes people realize there's more to this. And they see some people like you who are just like your lives. They're counting for Christ and you're excited about Christ. And sometimes they're saying, what is different? What do I need to do? Or how can I, you know, I'm realizing that it's just more than this. I tell them, well, I just take them to Romans 12. I say, here's what Paul is telling these people. He says, you know, I'm begging you to offer your lives. And don't be conformed to the world, because if we're not consciously, you know, making sure, then we'll be conformed unconsciously. So I'm not sure if there's any one particular thing, but I talk to people and I just tell them, I said, now you got to realize this, that being saved costs you absolutely nothing. It is a gift. But the decision you're about to make is a life-changing decision, because you're fixing to say, I want my life to count for Christ, and it's not what I want, but it's what God wants through me. So I don't know if that helps or not, because each person is different, and I don't know if I'll be honest, I don't remember anybody saying to me, you know, I know that I heard people say all the time, we need to grow and we need to make a difference for Christ, but I'm not sure people actually sit down for me and actually said, you need to offer your life to God and live for him. And I think I had to be further along before I understood that. Yeah. Thanks. Anything else? Yes.
I think I just the opposite of you. I had such turmoil in my life coming up, growing up through childhood, that when I found out that if you believed in Jesus, then you could serve him, and all these promises were there for you. He's going to direct you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you purpose in life. I thought sacrificing my life to him was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful.
Well, that is, and that's a different way. I did not look at it that way. You know, because she's saying it was turmoil, and then realizing if I say to Lord, I want my life to count for you, things are going to be a lot better. And when we mean a lot better, we don't mean that smoother. We mean now you have Jesus Christ. You're saying to him, just take me and use me for your glory. You know, I know this, that I knew that as a believer that, you know, he was there and I had the power of the Holy Spirit and I could live for him and, I mean, do stuff for him and serve him. But I never got to the point where I said, I want to live for you. And I think that's the big sacrifice we should make, you know, as a believer. And say, Lord, I just give you my life. And I hate to say this, but I think, I mean, and y'all may agree with me or may not. I just don't see a whole lot of believers who have made that decision that they want their lives to count for Christ. It's just, they know they're saved. And well, let me say this. I see a whole lot of people that don't know if they're saved. And I don't even know if they're saved. But they may or may not be saved, but they don't, a lot of them don't understand it. They may have believed at one time and understood, and then they've gotten confused, or they're being taught things that are so contrary and so disruptive, and you just don't know what to think anymore. And so I know some people are saying, listen, I'm a believer and that's good enough for me. But we know that we want to live for Christ and make an impact for him. All right. What else? We got 40 seconds. Yes.
Could you go back to one of the earlier slides about being children of God ambassadors?
And oh, the way at the start? Yeah, I think I can get back there. I think. I don't know how to find it, but we'll just go way back fast. Was that it, right? Whoops, why wouldn't it stop? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you want a question or you just want the verses or whatever? Yeah, I mean, I love all that when you start thinking about that, but then we're priests. And you know what's amazing? I thought about this. Could a priest in the tribe of Levi, could he serve if he had something wrong with his body or anything like that? No. I couldn't serve as a priest. I got my finger cut off. They'd say, nope, your body's not, you're damaged. So under an Old Testament law system, if I was from the tribe of Levi, I couldn't be a priest. But now in the New Testament, I get to be a priest and offer spiritual sacrifices. All right. Well, time's up. Thank y'all so much. Thanks.